Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. A lot of things going on in the Bay Area, in particular San Francisco, Hunters Point, economic development, a lot of mischief making taking place there. Wanted to talk to somebody who had their foot and ear to the ground, Minister Chris from the Nation of Islam. He is no stranger to our show, has been knee-deep involved with the struggle that's going up in HP. Minister Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Fine, Davey. Always good to be with you and your listening audience.
Before we get into some of the economic struggles, and I'm sure this is all going to tie in, I'm hearing like some very troubling stuff. One, I'm hearing that developers are showing up at meetings with loaded pistols and things like that, trying to intimidate people like yourselves who would be there in opposition to what they're trying to do. Then I read some article briefly. I didn't get a chance to get knee-deep into it, but they said the police are following you all. And what is going on? How serious is this struggle going on in HP?
Well, you should know that the struggle here in San Francisco and the Hunters Point section of San Francisco is very great, very intense. Unfortunately, because you have the economic and political establishment of San Francisco who has joined together and confederated together to take the last area presence that African Americans primarily and poor people in general live in this city, and they are trying to gentrify and redevelop this area at the expense of the indigenous population of poor people. And because of the great economic landscape and benefit that this area offers to greedy developers who have bought many of the political leaders in this city, you have a situation now where we are standing in the way of billions of dollars of redevelopment. And so, unfortunately, we have earned the ire and angst and anger of those big money developers, particularly the Lennar Corporation, who unfortunately and painfully, backed by Mayor Gavin Newsom, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the ranking senator Dianne Feinstein, and all of the pressures that these powerful people can bring to bear on a poor community. But we are in this fight, and we're committed because truth and justice is on our side. And therefore, we have no fear that what we're doing is right. And at the end of the day, truth will prevail.
What exactly are you fighting for?
Well, part of the development was right next to a housing community where there are public housing residents. We have a school. There are Section 8 housing, low-income housing, and it's right next to a parcel of land that was formerly the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. This is significant because the Naval Shipyard is where African Americans primarily were recruited to come to San Francisco and other parts of the Bay Area during World War II to provide cheap labor pool for the military during World War II. Out of Hunters Point, that the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were assembled right here at Hunters Point. It's also a place where African Americans were experimented on by the U.S. military, particularly the U.S. Navy, in Tuskegee-like experiments where they tested radiation and its effect on human beings by tricking poor African-American workers into cleaning ships that they radiated so that they could study the effects of radiation and cancer on human beings by using African-Americans as guinea pigs during this period. And so today, Brother Davey, the highest rate of cancer probably anywhere in the country is right here in Hunters Point, as well as the highest rates of asthma anywhere to be found in the country are right here in Hunters Point. And now that former naval shipyard, which was closed has become an Environmental Protection Agency Superfund site, where some of the worst chemicals, some of the worst radiological elements to be found anywhere in the world were buried right there in Hunter's Point. Some parts of Hunter's Point shipyard is so toxic that the Navy has determined that the compounds and the chemicals that are in the ground there, they don't even know the full composition, because some of those compounds have mixed with other compounds and have produced chemicals the like of which they've never seen before. But we do know uranium-235 is out there, other chemicals, other radiological elements, and what they call volatile organic compounds. And it's in this context that the city, backed by the political leadership, got the bright idea that they wanted to develop the shipyard and put homes, million-dollar homes, on this toxic land. And when we learned about it, the Lennar Corporation, which was contracted by the city, it is the nation's second largest home builder in the country, this corporation started digging and grading in the shipyard, and unbeknownst to the community of children and elderly and poor people, they were digging right into what they call naturally occurring asbestos and exposed this community with intent to asbestos, chromium, lead, antimony, and all of the other chemicals, where now poor people are suffering from nosebleeds, rashes, respiratory problems, in addition to asbestos and other things that have been impacting this community. And it's in that context that we stood up and demanded that the community be healed, that the community be tested, and that Lennar be held accountable for its actions. And unfortunately, to this point, Lennar, along with the backing of the city and county of San Francisco, has tried to stifle this effort and tried their best by any means necessary to stop us, even to the point of threats and intimidation.
When this is brought up to some of the elected officials, whether it's Mayor Gavin Newsom or Pelosi or anybody, what exactly do they say to you?
Well, what they've done is they've tried their best to spin this, because the people you're talking about, Davey, are people of great ambition, great political power. Gavin Newsom at one point was trying to run for governor, but unfortunately, this issue dogged him on the campaign trail, and he had to drop out of the governor's race because the community raised questions with him all over the state of California regarding Lennar and its rogue activity. So what they've tried to do initially was ignore this and hope that it went away, and then when it didn't go away and the community kept raising the concerns of the people, then they tried to discredit the leadership, which of course includes myself and the multicultural, multiracial coalition that has come around this issue, black, white, Latino, Asian, Pacific Islander. All of us have come together and have held this coalition together for the last 4 years on the issue of environmental justice. So we formed a formidable mobilizing effort that has forced the political leadership, and you can't disconnect the political leaders, Davey, from the money crowd of downtown Nob Hill, Pacific Heights developers who back the politicians, finance their campaigns, and they're the ones who have determined that this project must go forward by any means necessary, and they have forced the Environmental Protection Agency to capitulate. They've forced other regulatory bodies to bow. They forced the health department in San Francisco, to this day, has not tested one human being in Bayview Hunter's Point, even though we have brought to them documented cases of illnesses and nosebleeds, school children, elderly, yet they refuse to do what is right because they fear that if the word got out and the exposure nature of this situation became known, that it would impact or have an adverse impact on this development, and ultimately this impacts the political standing of those persons that you named. So it's been a great fight, because you're battling forces, and those forces have the ability to plant stories in the Chronicle. They have the ability to plant stories in the Examiner, on television. So what you're doing now is you're fighting, and thank God you have a radio station such as KPFA, you have the Bay Guardian, you have other independent truth-seeking outlets that give this community a way to get this information to the masses of the people. But were it not for that and shows like yours, it would be very difficult, because corporate-owned media, unfortunately, is part of this effort to discredit and destroy the community's effort to get environmental justice.
That's the voice of Minister Chris out in San Francisco, talking about the economic and ecological battle that is taking place in the Bayview Hunters Point District. We're going to take a break, come back, and continue our conversation.
Yeah, welcome to our hood. My hood, your hood. Yeah, I'll be your tour guide for the evening. My name is M1. And I'd like to introduce you to a little concept called land grab. Or gentrification, property monopoly.
I want the paper on this block like Garvey. I ain't trying to hold down the hood, I'm trying to call me a statue in it. They saying he did it, brother saying we with it. Kids doing push-ups and pull-ups and getting free. I want the paper on this block like Garvey. I ain't trying to hold down the hood, I'm trying to call me a statue in it. They saying he did it, brother saying we with it. Kids doing push-ups and pull-ups and getting free. Get it? I'm a hustler, imagine getting more than just paper. I'm trying to build a whole community, neighbor, from the building to the sidewalk, churches, stores, schools, and clubs, and watch how I talk. Homie, look what I bought. All the dough I blew in the past, and you did it too. Come on, dog, we should have our name on this avenue. Look how they're changing Fulton Street to Harriet Tubman. Wait, they should at least name Marcy after Jay. But hey, we making tips so it make you forget. We pay the landlord, but we don't own jack. White folks stepping up property value and rent. Did you wonder where the whole hood went? To the burbs and beyond. You blink, yep, we gone. Now they got us where they want us. Y'all ring the alarm. To the burbs and beyond. You blink, yep, we gone. Now they got us where they want us. Yo, ring the alarm. I want the paper on this block like Garvey. I ain't trying to hold down the hood. I'm trying to call me a statue in it. They saying he did it. Brother saying we with it. Kids doing push-ups.
We're back here, Davey D, hanging out with you this afternoon. Minister Chris, as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you name off the opposition that you guys have been contending with, two things ran through my head. First of all, there's been a very sizable and very vocal movement around the issue of quote-unquote green jobs. And there are all types of organizations that have popped up here in the Bay Area, the Green for All and the Grind for the Green and Green this and Green the other. They have the big Green Festival that takes place right there south of Market. So there's all this green stuff. And one of the challenges that I've always seen with this is that they've always like, how do we get people of color involved? How do we get people of color involved? And it seems like the fight that you guys are having has been a fight that has always gone on in our communities. From the days that I was growing up in the South Bronx to all the way now as an adult, being here and seeing what people are dealing with, cleanup situations in Richmond, seeing what people have been dealing with in West Oakland, and, of course, what you guys are dealing with in Bayview. I bring all that up as a backdrop to say, if I can see all these organizations that are showing up on TV and getting a lot of accolades, how are they fitting into this fight? And are they aware of it? Do they talk with you? Because it would seem like the Green for All type of crowd, this should be a front and center issue, because, I mean, people of color are fighting it. You're in the area where, you know, people of color live, and that seems to be the big challenge, is making sure that we have a seat at this table. This seems like the perfect opportunity. So what's the connection between what you all are doing and all the work that they're doing?
Well, you have to separate some of those environmental organizations from maybe the corporate and governmental effort to get a handle and control over green technology and green jobs, which by and large is a business cottage industry that has grown, that has at its root and core not necessarily environmental justice, but opportunities for businesses and communities or economic interests to take advantage of the growing consciousness of people in desiring to improve their environment. So what you have, Davey, is many environmental organizations and activists. Unfortunately, even though black people and people of color have been the biggest or greatest victims of environmental injustice, by and large, this issue was never a focus of the leadership in the black community. It's never really been a focus of the brothers and sisters on the ground. Our focus has been, from our vantage point, just basic survival issues. So the whole idea of green and waste management and making sure that environments are healthy and safe, those have been issues that we, as black people, by and large, have disregarded as significant, even though it was very significant.
Well, let me bring this up, and that's Minister Chris that's talking, and not to cut you off. The reason why I brought this up was two things. The first time I ever went to anything that was based around the environment was at Bayview Hunters Point. You might have remembered when I worked at KMEL, I used to go down there at the Opera House. It's where you all would have stuff. This was years and years ago, like in the early 90s. So there might even be some YouTube tapes on that, So I bring that up to say that my introduction to this ecology fight or environmental fight was at Bayview Hunters Point. And since then, we've seen this thing explode with all the green talk. The other reason why I bring this up is because what I've also noticed is that around the country you have a lot of developers who have adopted the green standards, and that's a good thing. And what I was afraid would happen is that you might get a Lenore Corporation saying, we got lots of jobs in the community for people to put solar panels and things like that on the buildings that we're going to build in Hunters Point, and maybe even hire people that are really your constituents and never ever address these root causes and underlying issues that you started off by talking, the health disparities, the type of experimentation that's going on with lack of healing. All that stuff could be overlooked, and then you would have somebody saying, we're a green corporation, what are they tripping off of?
I think it's important to understand the context. See, what happens is green, by and large, is a buzzword to attract people back to urban areas where there might have been toxic issues or environmental issues. So in order to attract a certain quality of persons back into the urban centers, cities are, quote, going green. But in truth, cities are moving the indigenous populations out of areas. And in order to attract people back into these areas, they've got to assure people that these areas are safe. So when they offer green jobs, those are not necessarily for the indigenous population. Those jobs are really for the new population that's going to repeople these communities. And so what you find is the communities that are presently in, or the people that presently live in those communities, they're disregarded. There are no real standards for cleanup of those communities while those people live there. So in Bayview Hunters Point, our issue is, yes, cleanup, but at what cost? In other words, they'll clean it up, but they'll clean it up at the expense of the current population. And that's problem you're having, and that's why we have something we've called the toxic triangle, which includes Richmond, West Oakland, and Hunters Point, because wherever you find these developments, particularly around areas that are former shipyards, areas where there were brownfields, areas where there were these industrial parks, now developers have decided that these areas and be gotten for pennies on the dollar, if not for free, turned over to big money greedy developers, the people who live in these areas exposed, cleanup taking place that disregards the health and well-being of the current population. Also, there's a connection between redevelopment and gang activity, redevelopment and shootings, redevelopment and conflict between neighborhoods, because one of the quickest ways to depopulate communities is by encouraging conflict between the young people, so that as the conflict escalates, the people begin to demand for a heavy law enforcement response, and then that justifies wholesale young men particularly being locked up. And once you lock up wholesale the young men from West Oakland, North Richmond, or Hunters Point, then you can relocate the women and children and then get those communities very inexpensively, turn them around, redevelop them, and in a few years repeople them and encourage people to come back with the whole notion of green technology, environmentally safe, environmentally correct, as well as a cottage industry for young college professionals, et cetera, to come and be a part of that. So that's where you have that whole area being directed toward this whole notion of redevelopment. I want to say this point, though. A lot of your environmental organizations depend on city, county, state government funding. They also depend on big money foundations. So you're dealing with corporate entities who finance many of our larger environmental organizations and interests. So many of them are as political and politically sensitive to the landscape or the political landscape. So nobody wants to offend a mayor who is funding your program. Nobody wants to offend a Rockefeller Foundation or some other entity that's providing you $100,000 a year to your budget, but they don't want you to stir up the pot when it comes to certain developments in certain areas. So this becomes a challenge, particularly since African Americans and people of color have not been engaged in the environmental arena. It has produced, in some respects, a paternalistic attitude toward communities of color, where outside entities seem to know best for the people who live there. But the beauty of our effort here in Hunters Point is the fact that you have an indigenous population of people of color who have taken the lead in this fight, and I'm happy to say other allies from smaller organizations, more organically developed organizations, more entities that are more purely motivated and independent have joined on with this fight. But the larger groups who know the truth of what we're fighting, unfortunately, are more mindful of not offending Nancy Pelosi or Barbara Boxer or Dianne Feinstein or Gavin Newsom, so they're afraid to stand with this grassroots effort because they might offend those who have some control and influence over their budget.
Very sobering words, and it underscores the nastiness of politics.
Oh, yeah.
In ways that I think people need to really understand that when we take on these fights, we're going to have some very sophisticated strategies, kind of, you know, make sure that we are able to do the things that we need to do, because nothing is for free. And it seems like when you do get stuff, as they say, more money, more problems. And part of those problems is that, you know, when you get a big chunk of money, somebody's going to hold you accountable. And it's either going to be the community that you're supposed to serve, or it's going to be the people who wrote the check. And I'm not sure if we're always prepared to really engage it in the way that we are, or even to speak as truthfully and as bluntly as you just did in laying out what the political realities are for a lot of people. To me, I just thought it was a natural connection between the two.
A natural connection. I think the problem you're having is that the thick element of greedy corporate interests that has influenced the political landscape so that anyone running for office, the same fight that you have with the criminalization of youth and people of color, we would not realize, or we think when people speak about being tough on crime, they're sincerely motivated about reducing crime, but in fact they're pushing a party line from the lobby interests of the police unions, the prison guard unions, the corporate development unions, and lobbyists. So really, you pass laws that sound good, but your motive is to do the bidding of those who finance your campaign. Many political people have told us privately, look, we know you're right, but if I stand with you and support these efforts, they will target me and get me out of office in 2 years. So you've got great fear on the part of political people. You've got ambitious people who are looking for the next office to continue. In order to be successful in the political arena, they say money is the mother's milk of politics. So when you have a developer, Davey, that has targeted, like Lennar does, these communities all over the country, Lennar's MO is to come in and buy politicians, buy regulators, buy people of influence. In Hunter's Point, many of the preachers have been put on payroll. Many of the nonprofit organizations are on payroll. Many of them have been bought and paid for. So when it comes time to raise their voice, the voice is muted because you now have bought, or you now have been bought by companies like Lennar, who can come in, they're wired, they have a way of doing business, and they literally will bankrupt. Why is Vallejo bankrupt? It's because Lennar went in and promised Vallejo that they were going to redevelop the Mare Island shipyard, and the city is still waiting on the resources from a promise that Lennar made. So Lennar has a track record of intimidation. They have a track record of buying hungry, greedy politicians. They have a track record of buying greedy leaders an organization in the community. So when you rise up and challenge a big entity like Lennar, you are taking on everything that is wired and connected to Lennar, including Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, who all have interests in the development through family members, through business associates. So when we talk about the magnitude of this fight, number one thing that a community needs is truth on your side. Make sure you're fighting the right fight. And then once you know you have truth on your side, you've got to have leadership that loves truth, loves the people, and is willing to make whatever sacrifice necessary to stand on truth, and is willing to make whatever commitment necessary to fight until truth is victorious. So you have to have people that are willing to put their life on the line, put personally sacrifice time, money, energy, effort, and you've got to have a commitment to a cause bigger than yourself. Those are the kinds of persons that can lead movements and challenge entities and force powerful principalities to bow down to the will of the people. You need patriots. You need people who are committed to a cause and are willing to commit themselves for the long haul. And if you're willing to have that Aaron Brockovich, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Martin Luther King type spirit, then you're willing to put your life on the line to see something happen for the good of people, then you will prevail. Because the arc of the universe is long, Dr. King said, but it bends toward justice.
We're going to end right there. That's the voice of Minister Chris. Man, you know, we just had you on to talk a little bit about the struggle that y'all are going on, but you really hammered it home and gave us a lot more to think about this afternoon, just how politics work. And I don't think We fully understand it. I don't fully understand it all the time. And I'm glad you were able to connect the dots with us this afternoon, giving us a lot to think about. And also the solution, which is that, you know, we always have to stand for truth. And that's just the bottom line, because when it gets confusing, that's all you do have is the truth, you know, and in principle. So we appreciate that. How can we help you out with whatever you're doing as we get ready to close out?
Well, you know, we meet every Thursday. We have a town hall meeting here in San Francisco at 195 Kiska Road in Bayview Hunters Point every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, where we come together and organize and inform the community on what's going on. We also have town hall meetings there in Oakland every Saturday at 4 o'clock at Grace. The church name escapes me. But we are available. You can reach us at 415-971-3951. That's 415-971-3951. But Stop Lennar Action Movement is the name of our coalition. It's made up of organizations and individuals. We've connected with others who are fighting this same fight. And I can tell you frankly, Davey, we are winning. Lennar and those who stand with Lennar are learning that they have messed with the wrong community. So I'm happy to tell your listeners, you know, thank you for your support, but you should know the fight that we're in is a winning fight that we feel very good about, and any support that they would like to give us in the way of coming and hearing more about this fight and whatever they can do to help stand with us, we certainly look forward to any support that comes from your listening audience.
Well, there you have it. Minister Chris, thank you so much. We're going to let you go.
And, always good to talk to you, my friend.
And good to talk with you. Giving us real food for thought this afternoon, Minister Chris. We'll be right back.